Namo Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama
Hare Hare.
Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada.
Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Gaura Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Hari Bo.
Jai Om Shivaya Paramahansa Brihadraj Gacharya Stotra Sri Srimadesi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj Gurubhar Ki Jai. Adanta Koti Vaishnavinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Sakaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar. Shiva Shadi Gaur Bhakta Vindaki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gaur Kopinath Sham Kun Radha Kunigiri Gaur Dhan Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Navadip Dham Ki Jai. Jagannath Puri Ki Jai. Gangamai Ki Jai. Jamanamai Ki Jai. Tulsi Devi Ki Jai. Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Samaveta Bhakta Vindaki Jai. All glories to you, devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. Gaur Premanande. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane. Namaste Sarshate Deve Gaudavani Pracharne Nivishesha Shunyavadi Pashtate Deshatane. Couple of matters of house cleaning or administration first. We're going to need to be doubling up classes, two a day. We won't do it today. I'm not quite sure when we'll start. I'll look at my schedule and see. Perhaps as soon as tomorrow. But because we missed yesterday also. I'll let you know tomorrow. But today it's only once. Is that okay?
Okay.
If we meet in the afternoon, what is it, 4:30 again? I think that's practical. In the afternoon, I think probably the best place is to meet over at Bhakti Charamaj's room. Everyone know where that is?
Yeah.
It's fourth floor of the Conch building, all the way back, big double doors. That's where we'll meet when we meet in the afternoons. It'll be 4:30 to 6, and I'll let you know when we're going to start that. Yeah, once we start, we'll keep going, unless I find that we're going so speedily that we don't need to do it. But that's not so likely. Right. Who manages this iRiver? This iRiver recorder?
I'm doing it for Karuna Singh Prabhu because he cannot come today.
Yeah. Does it get used later after this class? Say again?
I have to return this recorder to him at least.
Yeah, I was wondering if I could borrow the microphone. That's the question I have in mind.
I think because he's actually leaving the microphone for me, because he's going to Bombay for 1 week.
Can I borrow it for the day?
Yeah, I think so.
And I'll give it back to you. Just get it collected from me either this evening or tomorrow morning. Yeah, okay, good. Thank you very much. Right. We're in chapter 13. We discussed the field and the two knowers of the field. We discussed that which is knowable. What's knowable? Yeah, and what is that Gayam?
What is
spirit? Spirit, yes, Brahma is that which is knowable, the absolute truth. We've discussed the process of knowledge, and we've begun talking about Prakriti and Purusha, or rather we're about to begin discussing Prakriti and Purusha with text 20. Prakritim Purusham Chaiva Vidhyanadi Ubhavapi Vikarams Chagunams Chaiva Vidhi Prakriti Sambhavam. Material nature and the living entities should be understood to be anadi, beginningless. The living entities are eternal, and material nature, as in principle, is eternal. It's an eternal energy of Krishna's. That was mentioned as one of the topics that we'd be discussing in the very beginning. Bhagavad Gita, time, activities, material nature. So material nature is a permanent feature of Krishna's energy. Just as the living being, Jiva Shakti, eternally exists, Krishna's material energy also eternally exists. But vikarams, chagunams chaiva, Vidhi Prakriti Sambhavan. The transformations are going on. Vikar means different kinds of transformations are going on because of the material nature. And the three gunas are manifest because of material nature. We discussed a couple days back, that material nature has two forms. The Pradhan and Prakriti. Pradhan means the total material substance. And Prakriti is that substance when?
Glance.
Glance, yeah, that could we get a little more out than glance?
Time is the time factor comes
in. Yeah, when the time factor comes into play through the glance of the Lord, then things start cooking. Things start moving. The material modes become manifested in three divisions, and all sorts of changes take place. Specifically for this material body, we know there's birth, there's growth, there's staying for some time, having byproducts, then
dwindling,
and finally finished. So these are different kinds of transformations, and whatever other kinds of transformations might be going on here, it's all because of material nature. The living entity has nothing to do with these transformations. But because he's in contact with material nature, he undergoes them. Najayate Mriyate Va. I have no birth or death. What to speak of old age or disease? But I seem to be going through these because I'm associated with material nature. And material nature involves these transformations. The living entity has nothing to do with material nature, asango hiyam purusha, but because of his rebellious attitude, he's here. There's a very significant statement in Srila Prabhupada's purport about the great controversy of the fallen jiva, where Srila Prabhupada gets right into the midst of the controversy and gives a very enlightening answer about this whole crucial issue. He says, it really does not matter how these living entities or superior entities of the Supreme Lord have come in touch in contact with material nature. We don't give a damn. That's what Prabhupada said. Somehow or other, we're here. Huh?
doesn't really matter.
It doesn't really matter. Prabhupada doesn't give it a whole lot of importance here. He doesn't, you know, there are people say it's crucial to know this. Prabhupada said, doesn't matter. Does not matter. We don't care. We are stuck here, and that's what we most need to know. That also we don't know. We think that we're having a good time here. We need to know that we are in the wrong place somehow or other. And how we got here, we can figure out later after we get out.
There's an analogy in this regard. Do you know that analogy?
There's several.
Yeah.
Give one.
About the, if someone's fallen off a boat, you don't know, how did this happen? You know, they just get him out.
Yeah, just
get him out. Throw the life ring and get it, pull him in. You know?
Well, grab the, you know.
Or as if you're in there, just grab it. Don't worry about how.
Excuse me, how long have I been in this ocean? How did I get here? Now grab the rope. No, it's very important we find these, figure this out first. Without knowledge, why? So there are things said in different books about this great question, but Srila Prabhupada says the main thing is, doesn't matter. We need to get out. We are in the wrong connection. We are connected with the wrong environment, with material nature, and our business is to get out. All transformations and influences of material nature by the three modes are productions of material nature. Transformations in variety in respect to living entities are due to the body. As far as spirit is concerned, living entities are all the same. So all these things that we're going through, this whole business, it's all because of material nature and our needless contact with it. Bhagavatam therefore says, anarto pasamam shakshad bhakti yogam madhokshaje. But these problems of the living entity are superfluous to him. His miseries are superfluous. Anartha means meaningless. They have no value. Yes, unwanted, but another meaning is pointless, meaningless, without value. It's only because of association with material nature. You know, all these things seem to have great meaning. The news headlines and Susie left me and, you know, all this kind of stuff. It appears to be momentously important, but anartha, it's meaningless. Because it's all produced from material nature, from the illusory energy. It has nothing to do with my real life. Okay. Yes? Excuse me? Yeah, because it's an eternally existing energy of Krishna. Now it may sometimes spit out the cosmic manifestation, spin out the cosmic manifestation, and sometimes pull it back in. But the energy itself is always existing. Like the Parks Department or something. Or like, yeah, Parks Department may sometimes, you know, create a park, sometimes destroy a park. But the Parks Department is eternally existing. Or, you know, the bank, it may sometimes send out money, it may sometimes call the money in, but the bank is always there. Yep.
Can you explain a little bit about the knowable?
About what?
The knowable.
The knowable. You want to go back to the knowable?
Yeah, it's just like somehow or other it's not clicking.
You don't know the knowable.
Yeah, I mean, I heard it's about spirit, but yeah, I mean, how is it spirit exactly?
Here, the knowable, you know, what is that we're supposed to know? We have this process of knowledge, humility, pridelessness, study of scripture, approaching a bona fide spiritual master, cleanliness, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, all these different items of knowledge, or of the process of knowledge. What are we supposed to know? Well, first there was the Civil War, and the general in the Civil War, for the Union side was this, and for the Confederate side was that, and this was the biggest battle, and then this, and then this, and this, that. And the dates, the all-important dates, and how many men were killed, and
which village it was.
oh, all the very, you know, what, who signed what, and you know, this is all, you know, this is the knowable according to material education. You know, you come, the process of knowledge is to sit in a classroom and be bored stiff out of your mind while the teacher's, you know, prescribes homework for you. And the knowable is in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. What is it that we're actually supposed to know? What do you suppose it is that we're supposed to know? Well, before we get to the relationship with the Supreme Lord, what do you need to know first?
Your house is on fire, they need to get
out. Nope. Yeah, first you need to know, you know, if there's you and the Supreme Lord in a relationship, first you need to know who you are. Then you need to know who the Supreme Lord is. You're both the same because you're both spirit. You're Brahma and he's Brahma. He's the small Brahma. You're the small Brahma, he's the big Brahma. You're the tiny spirit, he's the vast spirit. So this Brahma, in its two features, the small and the great, is what we're supposed to know. That's the knowable. And therefore, he's described. Well, described, starting from verse 13, where the living entity is described, and then 14, 15, so on, the super soul is being described. So the soul and the super soul are knowable. Okay? The object, they're the object of knowledge. The knowable, Prabhupada also translates, the object of knowledge. What are these, what is it that we're supposed to know? No, not really. Not really. Something can be, you know, in every living being, you know, like suppose in all human beings there's viruses, but it doesn't mean that we're part and parcel of viruses. Just the mere presence of the supersoul in everyone's heart doesn't really necessarily imply that we're all his parts and parcels. We could just be coexistent entities with some sort of relationship. Right? But we get it from other sources. Nah. No need. So Krishna expands himself in the material world as the super soul to guide us. In the spiritual world, there's no such intermediary required.
So this is how he is in everything.
As the super soul?
Yes.
One way? He's in everything as the super soul. For, let's say, the tree. Krishna's present in the tree as the super soul. But he's also present as the soul, because the soul is part and parcel of Krishna. It's Krishna's energy, therefore not different from Krishna. He's also present as the bark and the sap and the roots and all the rest of that, because that's also Krishna's energy, and therefore not different from Krishna. So Krishna is present in so many ways at the same time.
So if Krishna has the supreme qualities, and we have these qualities, but, you know, like, less supreme, right? But that's the soul that has.
Yeah.
No connection to the super soul.
Well, the soul is part and parcel of the super soul. That's why he has the same qualities as the super soul. It's not just merely the presence of the super soul and the soul mean that one is part of the other. But there are other reasons for believing that they are. Supersoul is all-pervading because he's throughout the entire universe. You're all-pervading because you're throughout your body. You know, if you have a pain in your finger, you feel it. Pain in your toe, you feel it. You're as consciousness, you're present throughout your body, so you're all-pervading. You know, for all of, 5.5 feet by, foot and a half, 2 feet, you're all-pervading. And Krishna is all-pervading, throughout the cosmic manifestation. So he has that quality and you have that quality, but yours is pretty puny. And his is immeasurable.
So the yogis, they can work on it.
Yeah?
The yogis, they can work on it.
Yeah, they can work on it. They can be, in 2 or 3 or 4 places at once, maybe 7. And they could say, wow, I'm really all-pervading. But, 7 places is not a big deal when you compare it to what Krishna can do.
But when they work on that, so is that the Paramatma is giving them the intelligence?
Yeah, Paramatma gives everyone the intelligence to do whatever nonsense they're doing. The little kid is building something with an erector set, or now, what are those things? Lego or whatever it is. So, he's building something. Maybe they don't build anything anymore. It's all virtual. Anyway, the Paramatma gives you the intelligence to play around like that. And it gives the yogi the intelligence to play around with planets and mystic powers. Okay? Yes? Only one.
Soul has a chetna. So, it sort of illumines the whole body. Now we also understand it is restricted to our body. It doesn't go out or something like that. Now, not super soul is superior to the soul. So, what about its chetna?
It's everywhere.
Isn't it superior to the my chetna?
Yeah, therefore it's everywhere. You're everywhere in the body, and he's everywhere.
So if I'm making a mistake,
yeah,
don't I be under a shadow, he's a superior energy.
Yeah.
So why do I, when I go and do something, when there's a superior energy, the inferior energy is diminished.
Superior energy is his, first of all, he's not energy. He's the Lord, the source of the energy. But his business is not there, is not to be the police force. Say, okay, don't do that, don't do this, don't do this, do it. I'm not going to let you do this. Take another move and this is going to happen to you. Anumanta, Upadrashta, his business is to watch, wait, allow. You want to do nonsense? All right, do nonsense. Now you want to become Krishna conscious? All right, I'll help you. You want to do nonsense? I'll help you for that. It's not that he's here to make sure that you're Krishna conscious. It's up to you. Okay? Yeah, permitter. Not restrictor. You want to do some nonsense? I'll even help you. Okay. Karya karana kartritve hetu prakritiruchate. Purusha sukadukhanam boktritve hetu ruchate. A complex but interesting verse here. Karya karana kartritve. There's cause and effect. And the source of these is the material nature. The whole environment is produced by material nature. The laws of nature are produced by material nature. What goes up must come down. All of that kind of stuff. If you put your hand in a fire, you get burned. All of these things that constitute the environment, the laws of nature, it's all produced by prakriti. Hetu means the cause. Hetu prakriti ruchate. The cause is material nature.
whatever we see around us, or whatever we find ourselves in the midst of, is a product of material nature. And purusha sukha dukkhanam bhoktritve hetu ruchite. Now, what's the source of suffering and enjoyment then? You are. Environment's the same. But whether you suffer in it or you enjoy in it, or to what extent you do one or the other or both, that depends on you. The fire is there, produced by material nature. The law is there. Put your hand in the fire, you'll get burned. Now, you putting your hand in there, that's up to you. Bhoktritve. So why are we doing what we're doing? For the sake of enjoyment. I gave the example that I knew one young man who got implicated with the wife of an Italian construction worker. You know, so the construction worker was created by, you know, was present by the arrangement of material nature. His wife was present by the arrangement of material nature. The guy was present by the arrangement of material nature. Everything was fine, except that spirit of enjoyment became the source of happiness and distress. You know, he himself was the cause. Nothing else. Prabhupada gave an example. We were in New Vrindavan, he was doing a fire sacrifice. And he, at one point, took a stick that he was using for the fire and just kind of pushed it into the sand a little bit and picked it up. He said, "This is very instructive." What is that? On the stick were some dead moths. Prabhupada said, the fire does not jump out at the moth. But the moth flies into the fire. Attracted by the glitter, he thinks he's going to enjoy. So he flies into the fire and perishes. So he becomes the cause of his own suffering. His own suffering. Why purusha? Purusha means the living being, and purusha specifically means the enjoyer. And purusha, I always look at it as an ironic use, because he's not the enjoyer. Purusha here means the so-called enjoyer, the supposed enjoyer, the idiot who thinks he's an enjoyer, the bewildered living entity. Purusha. You know, like a kid, he's got a little crown on his head. King. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not a king, he's a little kid. But he's imagining, yes, I'm the king. Or Pundrika. He was the same sort of thing. You know, like kids get together and they say, okay, you be the king. So the kids got together and decided, okay, Pundrika, you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Pundrika's up there, yes, I'm the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You have to give up your false claim. Purusha, he imagined that he was the Purusha. He imagined that he was the Purusha. So we're all imagining that we're the Purushas, when actually we're all, and we're trying to enjoy Prakriti. But actually we're Prakriti. We're not Purusha at all. We're meant to be enjoyed, to give enjoyment, and we're imagining that we're supposed to get enjoyment. This is called Maya. So Purusha, the bewildered living entity with this false Purusha mentality, sukha dukkhanam bhoktritve hetu, he is the cause of his own suffering and enjoyment.
When are you thinking that
why? Prabhupada considered it causeless. No good reason. It's Maya. Maya means, you know, that there's nothing to it. There's no reason. You know, Maya's not reasonable. The illusion is not reasonable.
So even the females on the planet are also Purusha?
No. The males on the planet are also Prakriti. And both male and female are thinking they're Purusha. Yeah, their woman's business is to come across as my only interest is to give you enjoyment, and her real interest is to get enjoyment. And of course, the man's in the same business. I just want to make you happy because I love you so much. Yes.
We understood that the living can be the cause, but I cannot understand this first sentence. Nature is said to be the cause of material changes.
Yeah.
Material nature is the cause.
Material nature is the cause of all the causes and effects in the material world. She is the department of the environment. The law, you don't create the laws of nature. You don't make the law that what goes up must come down. You don't make the law that fire will burn or that water will be wet or that a million other things. Or that, you know, some guy will be really angry if you mess with his wife. You didn't create that arrangement. You're the one who decided, let me enjoy. Material nature arranged things in such a way that fire burns. And the moth is the one who said, wow, look at that nice fire. Clear?
So there is environment, but from which depends if you are going to suffer or...
Yeah, just like there's a park. And now it's up to you whether to walk through the park and smell the flowers and enjoy looking at the beautiful trees, or pick the flowers, strip the bark off the trees, get arrested by the, you know, park police. That's up to you. Yes. Krishna is? He's the remote cause, yes. Here when it said material nature is the cause, doesn't mean the ultimate cause. She's the immediate cause. And as you said, Krishna is the remote cause. Yeah. Oh yeah, he can change things around. With Prahlad Maharaj, poison didn't work. Hiranyakashipu, you know, gave him some nice poison to drink. He drank it and just kept going. So if Krishna desires, fire won't burn, poison won't poison. Nothing will do anything.
Snakes won't bite.
Excuse me?
Elephants won't step on you.
Elephants won't step on you. Everything can be changed if Krishna directly intervenes. But in the normal course of things, the laws of nature hold sway. And we think we'll hold them at bay. We think that we'll hold the laws of nature at bay. We think that we'll retool the laws of material nature. We think that we'll, you know, make it happen differently. We'll make this a better world. We'll prevent, you know, we'll stamp out poverty. We'll wipe out disease. We'll do this. We'll do that. You know, as if we were able to control the laws of material nature. You know, we will stop pregnancy so that, you know, we don't have to worry about the unfortunate, unwanted effects of having a good time. We will do this, we will do that. And we don't realize that, you know, the Department of the Environment is in the background. Said, okay, go ahead, do that. I'm waiting, go ahead, do it. Wait till you see what I've got in store for you afterwards.
Make my day.
Make my day. Go ahead, see how far you can stretch that rubber band. Okay. Purusha prakritistho hi bhunkte prakriti jan gunan karanam gunasangasya sadasad yoni janmashu. Prabhupada quoted this verse very often, important verse, following from the previous one. Purusha, that false enjoyer, prakritistohi, is situated in the environment, material nature. And bhunkte, he's enjoying. What is he enjoying? Prakriti jan gunan. The qualities that are produced from prakriti, from material nature. You can take it as three qualities. He's enjoying what's there in ignorance. He's enjoying what's there in passion. He's enjoying what's produced of goodness. Or you can take it so many qualities. He's enjoying, you know, loudness and brightness and hotness and sourness and, you know, all these different qualities of material nature. He's enjoying all the qualities. Material nature is full of wonderful qualities, which are in turn coming from three qualities: goodness, passion, and ignorance. Prakriti ja means born of prakriti, produced from prakriti. All these qualities that we see are coming from material nature. They're, you know, material nature is productive. She's producing all these wonderful varieties. And we're thinking, great, let me enjoy. Karanam gunasangasya. For the living entity, asya, this becomes the cause of gunasanga, association with those qualities, association with goodness, passion, and ignorance, association with whatever it is that's produced from material nature. And the result of that is sadasad yoni janmashu. That we, because we're attached to these products of material nature, we have to take birth again to continue to be associated with material nature. It's like these people, they're looking for their soulmates. You'll see. You know, they believe in reincarnation, and they believe that, you know, there's like couples who've been together for many, many lifetimes. And they're hoping that in the next life, they'll be together. You know, their mind is focused in that way. That now I'm enjoying in such and such a way, let me enjoy in the next life in such and such a way. They're actually enjoying. May I take birth again to be with my soulmate? May I take birth again as an American? may take birth, not again here, but in the heavenly planets. They're desiring to enjoy a certain way. Or they're desiring to enjoy in some illicit way. And they don't quite get what they want, but they get what they're entitled to. They get what they deserve, because there's two things. There's what you want and what you can afford. You want to buy an apartment. You want to buy a really good apartment in a really good area with really good schools next to it and a really nice environment and really good neighbors and really low taxes and all of that. And there is such a thing, but how much can you afford? Well, I can only afford 1/10 of that. Well, then, you know, we have another place over here for you with lousy schools, criminal neighbors, next to the railroad tracks and a factory. Mm-hmm. And the petroleum refinery down the block. So it's what you want combined with what you're entitled to. So purusha prakriti stohi. Prakriti sta means situated in prakriti. Really stuck in prakriti. Purusha prakriti stohi. Bhunkte. And he's enjoying. He thinks he's enjoying. This is maya.
If there is no sense gratification, desire, then I don't think people will do any activity.
No, they won't.
Like if somebody
nobody will work unless there's sense gratification. Unless you pay me, I'm not going to work. I'll stay home. And if there's nothing for enjoyment on the television, I won't turn it on. I won't do anything unless there's some prospect of enjoyment there. Even I won't do something, you know, I'll do something benevolent for others as long as I feel that I'll get satisfaction, I'll get something for myself, or people will say, oh yes, Jai Dwaita Swami, he gave $10,000 for, you know, the cripples or the, you know, whatever it is. Food for life. I won't do it unless I feel that there's something in it for me. Because why? Purusha. Because I'm here to enjoy it.
It's not possible to. Desire will be always there, no? Desire for sense gratification will always there.
Unless you become Krishna conscious, then your desire changes.
Like, suppose a marriage life, a person married for what?
Yeah, marries for what? That's I've been asking myself that question for years. Married for what? Go ahead.
Means if person if he doesn't have even doesn't have any sense gratification desire, then he probably be married.
Good, right.
He would not marry.
No, he wouldn't. You take away the sense gratification, who'd marry? A few dutiful people. Yes, it's my duty, you know. Apart from them, you know, even they might question, you know, why is it my duty? Can I get out of it? But all these people who are looking around for, you know, the perfect girl or the perfect boy, you know, they just ditch the whole thing. Yeah, there's nothing in it. But sense gratification keeps the whole enterprise going. This verse, by the way, is like a perfect snapshot of sex life. Purusha, someone's the enjoyer, and prakriti stohi, he's got something to enjoy produced by material nature. Material nature says, look what I've got for you. Here she is. The 2006 Susie.
Model of the year.
Look at that hair, look at those eyes, look at all the rest of the stuff, look at that, hear that beautiful voice.
Hey.
Material nature has produced something for our enjoyment. And who am I? I'm the enjoyer, of course. So what could be better than matrimony between Purusha and Prakriti? The enjoyer and the source of enjoyment. Why? Bhunkte Prakriti Jangunan. So that we can enjoy all these products of, you know, that we can enjoy the 2007, actually, the new year. The new 2007, Susie. Karanam Gunasangasya. So what's the result? I become associated with Susie. I marry Susie. Now I'm, you know, attached to the qualities of Susie, and I can't live without Susie. Because of her beautiful eyes, and her beautiful this, and her beautiful that, or whatever.
And become Susie in the next life.
And in fact, the Prakriti has a few more products, and then we become attached to them too. You know, the little Suzettes and...
For the next generation of enjoyers.
Yeah, it's costly little Suzettes. Yeah, they're expensive. Karanam Gunasangasya. So I become attached. Or associated. Even if I, you know, I hate, I despise you. You're not what I, you know, thought you were at all. Blah, blah, blah. But still I'm associated. Still I'm associated. You know, I'll either be in heaven with Susie or in court with Susie, but somehow or other, I'm going to be in relationship with Susie. Why? Because I wanted to enjoy with her. So Karanam Gunasangasya, in this way I become associated. And the result is? Sadasad Yoni. Again, I have to take birth. Why? Because I'm attached to the personification of material nature. So it's the archetypical Maya. I will enjoy. And the result is, I will continue in the cycle of birth and death. Therefore, the Vedic system actually is that marriage should be for duty. For duty. And we know this tendency is there for enjoyment, but the enjoyment idea should be curbed down. He should be trained as a brahmachari from the beginning and understand something about, you know, what kind of so-called enjoyment this is. And if he needs to get married at all, he should really have the idea that my main business is to perform devotional service, not to think that now I'm going to be the, you know, the master of material nature. Now I'm going to be the in heaven. Really, he should minimize his suffering by cutting down his enjoying spirit. And he should act as a matter of duty. In the mode of passion, I act for enjoyment. And in the mode of goodness, I act as a matter of duty. Now the result of acting in the mode of goodness is knowledge. And the result of acting in the mode of passion is misery.
Can you explain about duty?
Duty means this is what I'm supposed to do. Just like here in India, very often the boys get married because the parents are desiring that they should get, you know, it's like you hardly have a choice. You know, well, why did you get married? Well, my parents, you know, wanted me to get married. And the sense is there that I can't disobey my parents. That is my duty. I have to do it, you know, I have to carry on the, you know, family tradition, or I have to, whatever their idea is. But it's my duty.
what he's saying, that I remember when my elder brother got married, so he had never seen her. Even in the wedding, they didn't see each other. And even after marriage, she was always far away. Like in a normal, he was far away. And then I've always seen them till now. They are the most peaceful of the other brothers. I've never seen them fighting. It's like in duty they both got married. They had late children. But very peaceful.
And as a matter of duty, later they'll, what's the word? Pack it in. You know, they'll fold it up and be done with it. Because they didn't marry for sense gratification, they married as a matter of duty. Just like Kardama Muni. Married, he said, as soon as I have a son, I'll be done with it. Had a son, then left. Why? Son was the personality of Godhead, he had every reason to stay home. But as a matter of duty. Pandavas say, well, you know, we could still get a few more years of enjoyment from the kingdom. No. It's our duty to leave. Parikshit Maharaj also could say, well, I still have 7 days.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, maybe, you know, I could counteract it. Or at least, you know, 7 days is nothing to sneeze at. But no, it's, what is my duty?
Is it anywhere stated? Is it one of those Prabhupada says? Is it true? You can even, if even the spiritual master says we get married, you can disobey this.
Well, of course, in the case of Bhishma and Parshuram,
Bhishma and the son of the four Kumaras.
No.
Four Kumaras didn't disobey
the... Yeah, I see. The separate incidents. Yeah. Right. Four Kumaras disobeyed Brahma, who was their guru, and Bhishma disobeyed Parshuram. So maybe in that connection Prabhupada said that. It's not a general license for disobeying the order of the spiritual master.
This is very important.
Yeah, there's a lot to be said for saying no. Most people find that out after they've said yes.
And only hardly 1% people get married if they think there's a duty.
Yeah, the tendency in this age especially, you know, duty? I mean, duty? You go to America and talk about duty in relation to marriage, and it's like, you know, you came over on the Mayflower or something? I mean, what is, you know, what planet are you from? Mayflower is means you came over with the early pilgrims at the founding of the, you know, before America even became a country.
They were dutiful back then.
They were supposed to have been, yeah, they were pious actually. I mean, they killed a few turkeys and stuff like that, but they were generally, you know, compared to their descendants, they were relatively pious. In any case, after a few hundred years went by, they were certainly considered old-fashioned. So if you go to America and start talking about duty, people will think you're nuts. You know, especially in regard to, you know, men and women and relationships. Except, even now, you know, if you've got children, then they start, you know, there's some idea that there's some duty, you know, people stay together for the sake of the children out of duty. That will last a little while longer. How much longer, we don't know. You get your Kali Yuga roadmap out and you'll see, but it's not going to last. And, you know, most people already, it's all right, we've got kids, but, you know, hang it, you know, I hate you and you hate me, let's just get on with it and, you know, find ourselves another game.
even for the sake of the children.
They'll just say, you know, it's better for the children, you know, for us to be happy or something like that.
There's a saying that, history has a tendency to repeat itself.
Oh, yeah, sure.
You think you're going to get greener and grass, but it's,
yeah. So this sense of duty is way down in Kali Yuga, and it will go down further. But actually, when we act for duty, we advance in human life. And when we act for sense gratification, we advance in animal life.
Can you explain why? Not why sense gratification, why duty? Do our duty? How does...
Because it connects you with Krishna. Duty is ultimately connected with the Supreme Lord. Duty means dharma. So dharma comes from where? Dharmam hi sakshat bhagavat pranitam. It originally comes from God, from Krishna. So when you're doing your duty, there's a connection with God. Now it may not be the highest connection that, you know, you're just engaged in pure devotional service and ecstatic love and something like that. But at least you have a sense that I ought to do this because of superior authority. Yeah. It's my duty to, like a king. It's my, like a judge. A judge says that it's my duty to sentence you to such and such. Even if you're my friend, even if I think you're a nice guy, even whatever it is. But it's my duty under the law to do such and such thing. Or to let you go. You know, I think you're the blackest, meanest son of a something or other. And if it were up to me, I'd send you to jail for, you know, 7 lifetimes. But it's my duty to release you. Means I don't have individual, unrestricted freedom. I have to follow the law. So in that way, he becomes connected to the hierarchical authority of the state. He's a bona fide judge because he's doing his duty. And if he does whatever he thinks, then he's just a rascal. So ultimately, duty comes from God. Real prescribed duty comes from the Vedas. We read that in the 3rd chapter. Brahma... what is that? Yajna Brahmod Bhavam Vidhi Bhavakshram Samudbhavam Brahmakshram Samudbhavam Tasmat Sarvagatam Brahma Sarvayagya Pratishtitam. I think that's Evam Pravartitam Chakram. The idea is that I have to perform these sacrifices. Why? It's my duty. Why is it my duty? Because it says so in the Vedas. So by following these duties, I'm obeying the Vedas. Because I'm engaged in activities according to the Vedas, I'm associating with Krishna because Krishna himself is present in the form of the Vedic instructions. Even a person who's doing his, you know, low material duty, a judge who's following the law, is in a weak sense associated with the Supreme. In, say, medieval society, for example, they had the sense that everybody's got his spot in a hierarchy which ultimately leads back to God. So if I'm doing something like... giving charity as prescribed, or paying my taxes, or running my business properly, or whatever it is, I'm connected to God because I'm in that chain, which ultimately leads to the Supreme. So everybody had the sense. even in the Varnashram system, it's like that. What am I doing? I'm plowing the field. Why am I plowing the field? Because it's my duty. Why is it my duty? Because Krishna has given me this duty. Why am I serving this master? Because it's my duty. Why is it my duty? Because by doing this duty, I'm serving God. That's what really makes the system of prescribed duties divine. We call it Daiva Varnashram, divine Varnashram. Why is it divine? Because it's in connection with the divine. It's in connection with the Supreme.
In the material world, in the person chooses his job, he usually chooses it or studying. He wants to go and study something. So he usually does it for the money?
Because of money or because, you know, he'll meet nice girls or because of, you know, I love to travel and this job will give me an opportunity to travel. He does it for sense gratification. Okay. One way or another. You know, for some people it's money. For some people it's something interesting. You know, like people who become professors, they don't really do it for the money. But, yeah, you don't get much money being a professor. Well, yeah, if you're a nuclear physics professor or something. But generally, the academic track doesn't usually offer a real lucrative future. You know, you become take a business degree if you want to be. Oh, he's a professor of economics, okay. He's smart. But, you know, just to teach English literature or something, that, you know, people don't do that for the money, but they do it because it's so interesting, and you know their mind is getting massaged. Yeah, right, exactly. It feels so good in the mind.
And they want others to say that he's the most intelligent.
Yeah, that also, you know, that I'm a professor. Somehow or other, there's sense gratification.
Maharaj, do they still swear on the Bible in the court in the States?
I suppose they generally do, although, you know, alternatives are available. you can swear on a Quran or something, or you could, or a Bhagavad Gita, or you could just say, hey, you know, I swear, I affirm, you know, that it's the truth, you know, forget this book thing. I think the tradition is still, I don't know if the tradition is still there, to tell you the truth. It's been a long time since I was in that sort of court proceeding. And in fact, the last time I was in a court proceeding, I don't remember any Bible. Quite likely it's kind of no longer there. Yeah, I
there's a modern show on TV called Judge Judy. And there was no Bible.
No Bible in Judge Judy's courtroom. Okay, well, that settles the matter. Okay.
It's like, you know, to tell the truth is godly.
Yeah, that's the idea, that, you know, it's your duty before God to do these things, to tell the truth, to charge the right price, to, you know, whatever it is that, you know, people have the sense that it's my duty. People have the sense that it's my duty. So it's pretty weak these days, but still, where you find it, it's a noble quality. But people, the sense is usually there, my duty to my country. But, you know, you have to go beyond that. Therefore, actually the phrase is, in America, my duty to God and my country. And the idea is that there's a connection. By serving my country, I'm serving God. God wants me to serve my country, and so on. There is a sense that by performing my duties, I'm acting in relationship to that higher entity. Whereas in sense gratification, I'm working for the lower entities, like the ones below the belt. Yeah, the sewer system. Then one is just serving, You know, I don't want to serve. You know, what is his duty? You know, serve my government, serve my, you know, serve a master, serve my husband, serve this, serve that. You know, what is this serve thing? You know, but everyone is serving. They're serving their senses. The same person who doesn't want to serve, you know, a husband or a father or a teacher is serving a cat. You're serving a dog, serving a lizard. You know, people keep pet lizards. You know, they're serving a lizard.
Lizard.
I once lived with a family in Ecuador. They had a Galapagos turtle. Huge, yeah. And of course, they had to serve the turtle. A tortoise? Galapagos. There's the Galapagos islands, and they have these enormous tortoises there. And they happen to have one. Galapagos belongs to Ecuador. So they had one of these tortoises in their courtyard. So they were serving a tortoise. Yeah, probably outlived the whole family. Everyone is serving. All these purushas who just want to be purushas, they all wind up serving prakriti. They're trying to enjoy prakriti, but they wind up serving prakriti. They become servants of the senses. Sadasad yoni jamnishu, and therefore taking birth in different species of life. Clear? Important verse. Okay, now we come back to the super soul again. Upadrashtanumanta cha bharta bhokta maheshwaraha paramatmeti chapi ukto dehesmin purusha paraha. A significant word in this verse is cha. Cha means also. There's another purusha. There's another purusha. Dehesmin, in this body, where the first purusha is, who's paraha, transcendental purusha. He's not a purusha who's entangled with prakriti, who's stuck in material nature, trying to enjoy what she produces. What is his business? Upadrashta. He's the overseer. You're just seeing. He's the witness. And Anumanta, allowing. Upadrashta Anumanta cha Bharta. He's the master. Bhokta. He's constitutionally the genuine enjoyer. And Maheshwara. He's the supreme controller. Who is he? Paramatmeti. He's the Paramatma. Two Atmas are there, the individual Atma and the Paramatma. They're described in the Vedas, Dvas, Suparna, Sayuja, Sakaya, like two friendly birds. One is eating the fruit of the tree, he's the enjoyer. Sometimes it's bitter, sometimes it's sweet. And the other one is only watching. Any questions?
What is the? He's the overseer.
Overseer means he's seen. Upadrashta. He's seen from nearby. Upa means from close, actually. No, not upare. No, not upar. Upa. Upa means close.
Looking
downwards. No, it's not dry, but upa, Sanskrit, means close. Or almost, also, like Upa Indra, you know, the younger brother of Indra. Upa Dharma, something like Dharma, but it's not exactly. Yeah, Upanishads, that which is heard from by being close to the spiritual master. Upanayana samskara, coming closer to the spiritual master.
Does this include your controls?
No. Overseer just means seeing. Just seeing. Drashta means, as far as I understand, he's just seeing. He is the controller, but the role here that's being spoken of is that he's seeing. And he is the controller because he's the permitter. Without his permission, you can't do anything. You have to get permission. Without his permission, nothing can happen. Any questions? Mm-hmm. Not the junk in the material world. He's the enjoyer of devotional service, actually. In the spiritual world, there are varieties of devotional service, and Krishna is enjoying. Atmarama svitasyasti. He's enjoying his own energy, his own internal potency.
This refers to the Paramatma.
Yes. I think there's a comment from Vishwanath, in fact, about what kind of enjoyer he is. Let's see. No, I thought there was, but I don't see it. Yeah, Upa Drashta, he says that he is the witness Drashta who's situated close, Upa, to the Jiva, but separate from him. And he glosses Bhokta as protector. Bharta, the supporter, and Vishwanath gives it that way. Any questions? Moving on. Yeah. Ya evam veti purusham prakritim cha gunaisaha sarvartha vartamanopi nasabhuyo bhijayate. Who cares about all this stuff? You know, what's the benefit of learning this? That's a question I always had in school. You know, why do we have to learn all this stuff? Yeah. You know, and there was, of course, no good answer, which is why I left school. But here there is a good answer. Yaevam veti purusham prakritim cha gunaisaha. If someone understands purusha, what is the purusha, and prakriti, what is prakriti, and gunai, the modes of material nature, sarvata vartamanopi nasabhuyo vijayate. He doesn't take birth again in this material world. Regardless of his present situation, he doesn't take birth again. Is that worth it? Make it worth studying? Yes? Yes, because if you understand, what will you do? Gyanavan mam prapadyate. You'll surrender to Krishna. First thing is, if you understand it, so, whoa, I'm not flying into that fire. That's the beginning. Whoa, I'm not, hey, I'm not the enjoyer, forget it. Sadasad yoni janmashu, thank you, no. Susie, you, no. I think your mother's calling you. But the real benefit is Ganavan Mahaprabhupada. He surrenders to Krishna.
Maharaj, I was just wondering, like for a liberated soul, is it necessary for him to actually understand all the technical knowledge of
No, if he surrenders to Krishna, that's sufficient. That's sufficient. Actually, this jnana path is long and arduous. We, you know, understand Purusha and Prakriti. Prakriti has 24 elements and this and this and this and this. Understand the whole thing. Okay, now where are we? What do we do with all this? What are we to make of it? That's the, you know, path of discrimination. Well, there's 14 of these and 10 of those, and these act this way and that acts that way, and this interacts with this and this and this and this. Okay. The upshot is that it's all, you know, I'm not this body, I'm spirit soul. There's a supreme, you know, and finally you get to the point, Ganaman Mam Prabhadyate, you surrender to him. But Janmanam, what Bahunam Janmanam Ante, after many, many births. The Prophet said, why wait for many, many births? If after many births you'll surrender to Krishna, why not surrender now? If the conclusion is that after getting knowledge many births from now, I'll decide to surrender to, well, why didn't I save myself the trouble and do it now? So no, you don't have to go through all of this. But for those who want to take the path of discrimination, it's here. And for any of us, it will be helpful. We'll understand what is what. Because we're not pure devotees. We're not spontaneously in ecstatic love for Krishna. We are in this material nature. And we still do have just a little teeny-weeny inclination to enjoy and a little sense that, gee, maybe just a little bit I could, you know, something I could, maybe there's still a chance I could. So then this knowledge will help us. Okay? Shall we move on a little bit? Dhyanen atmani pashyanti kechid atmanam atmana anye sankena yogena karma yogena chapre. Now how are we supposed to understand this super soul? Krishna has talked about the different items of knowledge, the process of knowledge. And here he's saying that there are people who know the super soul by different methods. Kechit, dhyanen atmani, pashanti, kechit atmanam atmana. Some see the super soul within themselves, by the mind, by meditation, cultivation of knowledge, by Sankhya Yoga, this counting, 1, 2, 3, 4, up through 24, 25th element is the supreme. Rather, 25th is the soul, 26th is the supreme. Counting. Karma yoga in a chapare, others by karma yoga. So there are these different methods by which people are trying to reach the super soul. Clear enough? Yep. Loud, you're trailing off.
This is a statement which he has said in many different ways earlier.
That's the way it is. Unless you keep drilling it in, people don't get it. How many times did Prabhupada tell us we're not this body? And still we think we're this body.
There's one in Hawaii, there was one. A senior disciple, at that time a senior disciple who had been around for maybe 6 years or so. So Prabhupada's given like a Bhagavad Gita class, and he's not the body, and he thought that he was beyond the discourse. And so he didn't attend Prabhupada, so really fast.
Yeah, we need to hear it again and again and again. Anye tveva majanantaha. Then there are others, anye, who really don't know what is what. Ajanantaha means they don't have knowledge. Shrutva anyeva upasate. But by hearing from others, shrutva anyebhya, they begin to render devotional service. Tepi cha atitaranti eva mrityam shruti parayana. They're inclined to the shruti parayan means they're into it. Parayana means into it. Shruti parayana. They're into hearing. Just like Prabhupada mentioned that his Guru Maharaj said about him, this boy likes to hear. So there are some, of course Prabhupada wasn't lacking knowledge, but there, you know, there are those, we don't know very much, but, you know, I just like to hear. Shrutvanyebhya. They also transcend the path of birth and death.
This is suggesting a pious person, someone has some piety.
Excuse me? Yeah, he's got piety or good fortune, or somehow or other he's lucked out because he's interested in hearing. Very fortunate qualification. The unfortunate qualification is he doesn't know very much. Ajananta. So he's not doing anything very much in terms of practicing for spiritual advancement. But the very good thing is that although he doesn't know very much, he's inclined to hear. Someone who's the other person, he doesn't know very much and he doesn't want to hear either. He remains a fool. This person, he doesn't know much and he's inclined to hear.
So that doesn't mean just knowledge of devotional service. It can mean any kind of knowledge that would improve their situation towards transcendence. It could be
You're not going to get very close to the super soul because you're inclined to hear from the professor about economic development. You know, that you're sitting in a class hearing Shori Prabhu's brother lecture about, you know, how to make a buck. That's not going to, you know, bring you very close to the super soul. May probably send you in the opposite direction. But if you're inclined to hear and you hear from the right person, you'll come closer to Krishna. Therefore, the propensity is misused. People have a tendency to hear. Everybody wants to hear something from someone else. But that propensity is misused. You know, you want to hear? I've got Gramya Katha for you. I've got People magazine. I've got Stardust. I've got, you know, a million and one topics about science and politics and this and that. What is that? Shrota Vyadni Rajendra, Nirnam Santi Sahasra. Apashyatam Atmatattvam Griheshu Grihamedina. For the materialistic people, there's thousands of things to hear about. Why should we hear about Krishna when we could hear about Maya? So their hearing propensity doesn't help them.
Is it one more to the definition of hearing than just...
Excuse me, just while I'm thinking of it. And we do violence to students by sending them to places where they're forced to hear rubbish. It's absolute violence. You know, a kid is like a sponge. He can soak up so much. And you send him to some place and fill him with, you know, 1492, Columbus and the Ocean Blue, and, you know, dates of wars and generals and, you know, all this rubbish.
Darwin
and God knows what. But this is the opportunity for spiritual realization. Komara atred pragya dharman bhagavatamya. So from the young age, they should be given the opportunity to hear about Krishna. Then their life will be nice. Yes, I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Sorry.
This hearing, you know, Prabhupada, there's stress hearing in the Vedic literature, but isn't hearing more than words going in our ear and into our brains? Something to do with acting on that.
Well, it's understood that by hearing we'll reach action, but here it just says, just that he's hearing. You know, there's some people, they just come to the temple and, you know, they don't do anything, they don't come forward to offer anything, they just sit and hear. Hey, good. Good, you know, they just, all, I don't, you know, would you, what would you like to do? Would you like to help in the kitchen? No, I just like to hear well, you know, all right, we'd rather see you. But the fact that they're interested in hearing is very, very good. And in one sense, you know, sometimes we get the person, he'll offer service and then he'll go because he hasn't heard anything. He doesn't really understand very much. But hearing is very important.
So he's beginning to worship the Supreme Person. Is that by hearing? So by hearing, he's worshiping the Supreme Person?
Yeah, in the at the end of the book, Krishna says, anyone who just hears the book is serving me by his intelligence. You see here in India, people come and they sit and hear. You go someplace and you announce that you're going to speak on Bhagavad Gita, Krishna Gita, so many people will come and sit and hear. Yeah, what? That's the program. You sit and hear. They'll do that very patiently. So they benefit if they hear from the right person.
In his last verses, he was talking about the super soul.
You'll find later that Krishna says, I and the super soul are one. But here, you know, philosophers, they need to have this kind of like, hey, there's a soul, and, you know, okay, there's a soul. Brahma, there's spirit. Now you've got to take him by the hand and say, yes, but there's also a super soul. You know, they're not ready for Goloka Vrindavan yet. But they can gradually be led to understand that, you know, within themselves there's not just one soul, but there's a, you know, a higher soul, an oversoul, as they say in philosophy. And this is for philosophers. This is Jnana Yoga here in the last six chapters. So Krishna's giving it to them in a, you know, a philosophical context. In the middle six chapters, Bhakti Yoga, just surrender to me. Just fix your mind on me. Always think of me. Manmana bhavamad bhakta madhyaji. Become my devotee. That's the real thing. That's the highest, bhakti yoga. Here we're dealing with people who are not quite, you know, or an approach for those who may not have reached that yet. Ganavan, when they actually become full of knowledge, they'll surrender. But these people, they need to get some knowledge first. They need to, you know, they need to say, well, this, they need analysis and philosophy. So we're saying, yeah, there's a soul, but there's a super soul. And then later, Krishna will say, well, the super soul's me. Or at many points, he doesn't just spring it all at once, but he'll say in many places that I'm that super soul. You'll find that in the 15th chapter. Purushottam Yoga, Yoga of the Supreme Person, where Krishna says, I'm that super soul. So it's coming. Not part of the soul, no. Super soul, rather the other way around. The soul is part of the super soul. Yeah, we're part of Krishna. The super soul is not, you know, a part of us, an agency of us, a projection of us, or a utility of us. We're the super soul is the boss.
So the picture of two birds is just for understanding, right?
Yeah.
It's not really like that.
It's not like if you somehow were able to look in the heart, you'd see, you know, feathers and beaks and wings. Yeah, they're together. The super soul Krishna is actually there within the heart. He's transcendental, but he can be there and still be transcendental. Just like the American embassy in New Delhi is in New Delhi, but still it's transcendental. They have the American flag, the American army, American Coca-Cola imported from directly from America instead of made under license and, you know, in India. They have, you know, their own establishment there. American law prevails within the American embassy, even though it's in India. So it's in India, but it's not in India. but you walk in and you feel like you're in America. Everybody's talking, you know, with an American accent. And, what can I do for you, you know, and all this kind of stuff.
In the second canto, Sukadeva Goswami says that the super soul is 8 inches big.
He's
8 inches big.
8 inches big, yeah. He's big compared to the soul.
8 inches.
Yeah. He's big. Elsewhere it's said the size of the thumb. Anyway, compared to the soul's the small guy. And Paramatma is big. All right, time has come. We will see you tomorrow, and we will decide how much of you we'll see tomorrow. Whether we'll have two classes or not. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Samaveta Bhakta Vrindaki Jai.
Today we're handing out the assignment papers for the rest of the course, so make sure you get one of those.
So I will borrow this.